a deep meditation in its own, all right? We can say amen and go home. However, I don't want you to tell Reverend Don we missed service too soon. Okay. Praise God. Yes, and we are here to talk this one power. And so join me in a little chant here, okay? Join me in saying that I am one
with the highest power.
I am one
with the God within.
I am one
with all creation.
I am one
my friend.
So turn to someone and help people and say, I am one, my friend. We are one, my friend. All right.
One power.
Yes. Fantastic. Now give yourself a hand for being so brave. Okay. I often like to remind us that when we come here on Sunday morning, that we are in a particular place of your choosing. Now, some of you, I assume most of you chose to be here. But I do know some of us were encouraged to be here. Okay. But the fact is that you're here now. Okay. And we happen to be where? At the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. So all that we talk about is spiritual living. And my title today is Dating Grace. Dating Grace. Okay? Now, that has a very intimate meaning for me, which I have come to appreciate. And I would imagine, you know, many of us would, the grace feels good. For some of you, my dating Grayson might work for you. That's the son of grace. Okay. But we're going to talk about grace and dating grace and why it's so meaningful to me. Oh, I got that, huh? Okay. All right. But, of course, you know there was this guy who died and went to heaven. You know about that guy, right? And, of course, who was there at the meeting? St. Peter. Okay. And, of course, what I found out is that whenever you get to the pearly gates, whatever assumptions you come to through the pearly gates is what you qualify for to get past the pearly gates. So if you're sort of a fundamentalist, then you need the law and what you did to get into it, right? They call it the law, right? And if you're sort of like one of us, kind of woo-woo type people, right? Whatever gets you through, okay? Right. But this gentleman, he believed, you know, it's what I did that gets me through. So he was very proud because he knew what he did. And so as he was talking to St. Peter, he stood between, you know, St. Peter says, okay, ask me the questions. I'm ready to get past. Because St. Peter says, okay, this is what he needs, right? This is his pass. He said, you can earn up to 100 points. Okay. If you reach the 100 points, you get through. He says, oh, this is going to be easy. He says, well, so tell me, he said, tell me what you did on earth. Well, number one, I was married to the same person for over 50 years. Okay. St. Peter said, that's 3 points. He said, 3 points? He said, okay, wait a minute. He said, I also went to church every Sunday. St. Peter said, that's a point. He said, what? He said, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I got it now. He says, I also served on the board of a soup kitchen. I even served the poor on holidays. And I was a supporter with my time, my talents, and my tithes to my spiritual community. He says, 2 points. He says, what? He says, it'll take me the grace of God to get in here. St. Peter said, come on in. Okay. Okay. Because see, what we get confused oftentimes, and it depends on how we look at life and how our relationship with spirit. Sometimes we feel that we have to earn our way into heaven. And that would be the law of justice. Okay? Because justice says, you know what? You're going to get what you deserve. Right? Then we also We also understand through various spiritual movements and everything, there's also this thing, even in court, called mercy. Okay? Mercy means that you're not going to get what you deserve. Okay? But then there's this thing called grace. And grace has said, you're going to get a gift that you do not deserve, that you didn't even earn, through the sweat of your brow. Okay? This thing called grace. So let's look at grace for a moment. Since I'm going to talk about dating grace, let's look at what grace is all about. We know grace can be about elegance, poise, one who is graceful in their movement. We can think of some of the beautiful skaters, some of the beautiful dancers who are very graceful in their movement. Grace can be a matter of courtesy, decency, and decorum, being polite. Theologically, as I just mentioned before, grace, particularly in the Christian theology, is free, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Now, Ernest Holmes has in addition to all the things we just spoke about, Ernest Holmes says grace is also the givingness of spirit to its creation. The givingness of spirit to its creation. And then Ernest Holmes says, and the right acceptance and the right relationship. So as you know, well, as I would believe, and as we teach, grace, which means the givingness of spirit, is always present. It's always happening. It's a noun, it's a verb, it's always happening. However, to maximize this relationship with grace, we need to be both accepting and in alignment in right relationship with spirit. So we're going to talk about that then. So grace is about relationship. So let's talk about how we build relationship with grace. Now, a number of years ago, I had a personal encounter with spirit, which I went through a time period, and some of you have been teasing me about going in the rabbit hole, okay? Because I went through a time period in several years ago in which I was simply called to deep prayer and meditation. I actually began to withdraw myself. Actually, that was a time period when I kind of finished the labor of being, what I call was intensified being a parent, you know? Because I just saw him walk in the back. Because when my youngest son, as he was finishing, he had finished high school, then he was into college. Now I was really evaluating my life. You know, wow, so you know what? I'm kind of through with some of the things I was intensely involved in before. Now it's time for me to open myself up. And boy, I fell into the rabbit hole of prayer, deep prayer and meditation. Matter of fact, I had this wonderful experience, this transformative experience with spirit. And I said, you know what? I need to put a name to this type of experience I'm having. And so a week or so later, I came up with the idea, I'm going to call this meditation of contemplation. That was so creative to me. And then later on, I say, you know what? Let me look this up and see has anybody else coined this yet, right? Of course, I Googled it, and bang. Yeah. Only for about 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 years, right? Contemplative prayer is known as, in the Christian Catholic community, they call it contemplative or centering prayer. And this centering prayer and the whole idea, and of course, in many different theological paths, they have the same thing for thousands of years. The Pharaoh of Egypt, Akhenaten is the way I pronounce his name, he also practiced this, simply being at one with spirit. And that's all you want to do is be at one with spirit. That's your only indication. You're not asking for a healing, not even asking for a revealing, except your oneness in spirit. So as I was going through this experience, and often now, what happens, of course, is that because I was putting so much time, I was going through levels of awareness and breakthrough, right? Notice that I was putting in what? Time. All right? So I'm going to give the analogy of a relationship, of dating, all right? As you know, there are different forms of different stages of development in terms of an intimate relationship. For oftentimes, that we're not even aware of a person. Okay, that's not even being aware of God, right? But I know that's not you because you're here. Okay, all right. But you know, there's possibility that people are in your environment, somebody's in your space. You're not even conscious of them. But then something comes about in which you become acquainted with them. You know, acquaintance is really like an informational level, right? I kind of know you're here. I acknowledge you're here. I might even know your name. And maybe it might be an employment situation. I kind of know what kind of work you do, right? And so we're kind of acquainted with people. We've all had those experiences, right? But then for some reason, the relationships goes from simply being acquainted with each other to a level of friendliness. Now, friendliness is another level, which, you know what, now I'm kind of interested in you, right? I'm kind of interested in what you're all about. So, and that's really now what more information. Now we want to have a conversation. And we might even have a brief talk in the hallway at work or maybe even here at the center. And we're kind of friendly, so let's maybe go for coffee. Maybe not lunch yet, right? Okay. We'll do coffee, right? We're friendly. And then, of course, what happens, and this is where the mystery comes in at, for some reason, because of this brief acquaintance, this time we spent together, remember, there was intention to spend some time together, right? And I actually, because this coffee date came about, there had to be some attention given to the intention, all right, okay? And then we spend a little time together. And then sometimes something magical happens, and we don't really know why we become really deep friends with different individuals, right? But something just sort of catches on, right? Then this friendliness moves to friendship. Another level, okay? Friendship now develops into a trust. We start sharing our secrets, right? And we start sharing our joys together. And it depends on what level the friendship is, we might even start sharing a little of our struggles together, but mostly joys. Because usually in that friendship level, I still want to show you my best self. Right? Hopefully, right? All right. So I'm not ready for full disclosure yet. Okay. All right. But as this friendship develops, and goes forth, now we get to that higher level of friendship, and we actually now begin to share even some of our struggles, things that are going on in our lives. So we actually know some of the intimate things that's going on in each other's lives. And then when that magic happens, and usually we don't even know when it happens. But all of a sudden, something happens, and you move to that next level of intimacy. That level of intimacy is really that mystical level. Even our natural human life is still a mystery. It's so wonderful, and it's a fantasy, and it's bubbly, right? And it has a natural desire to want to be with that person. Now it gets to a panorama. Now you have confidence in the relationship. You share not only your joys, but now also your struggles. And you share in the joys, and you share in the struggles in your outwardly actions as well. Now we're having a deep, deep relationship. Okay, and you get to the point, and we can see this sometimes, and actually you can sort of tell what level of relationship people might be in. You know, you can really tell when someone's dating for that friendly friendship stage, right? They're so chattery. Right, asking questions, right, gathering information. And then you can see when people are really friends, because then they're kind of, you know, quiet when they're talking, they're really sharing their soul, right? And then you can share when someone's in deep intimacy with someone, because they can be at a restaurant together, no need to even talk. And if you do talk, I can finish your sentence for you. Right? But it's mainly sharing the intimacy of each other's presence. That's the key of the relationship. Where no words, no actions, even nothing we have to do. Just be together. And that togetherness can be intimately when we're actually physically in front of each other, or it transcends distance and time. You know, you can be in that conversation with someone, especially depending on what level you're in, when you intended to have a 10-minute conversation and then being 10 hours. How many have had those several-hour conversations? Okay? Because why? It transcended time. Time doesn't matter. What matters is being in connection with this person. So that's an analogy for intimacy with a lover called grace. How much time have we simply acknowledged that grace, the infinite presence of the Holy Spirit, is present with us? How much time have we spent having a cup of coffee with God? Matter of fact, I've shared with some of you, that's my favorite meditations. I'll get up some mornings, brew my cup of coffee, and just sit in the silence with Spirit. Have a cup of tea. Have a cup of coffee with grace. Spend time talking with grace, sharing your intimate concerns. Not only your challenges, but also spend time with grace, sharing your joys. Matter of fact, it's highly recommended that you spend no more than 20% talking about challenges and 80% talking about joy. Okay? Even if there's only 10 things happen bad today, pick out two that were good and spend all your time on that. Okay? Now think about with some of our friendships, right? Now we know we love our friends. But every time I meet with you, right? It's a heavy lifting load, okay? And how does that kind of feel in our relationship, right? And we do know this metaphysically, as Ernest Holmes says, acceptance and right relationship. We do know that what, and the words that are part of our songs today, our thoughts are prayers. Our thoughts are things. And we do know in the process of moving, transcending to a higher level relationship with Spirit, we also go through the level of law. And law says, and I'm assuming this gentleman is going to be talking about that possibly this Thursday, the law of attraction. What you give your attention to, you multiply. Our thoughts are seeds. Think about that. Thoughts are seeds. Therefore, if I have a seed, a little kernel of corn, and I plant it, and it's nurtured, what's going to happen? I'm going to get a stalk. From that one kernel, that one seed of corn, if I pluck off, it has several ears on its stalk, am I correct? If I pluck off one ear of corn, how many seeds are in this ear of corn? Possibly, I don't know, a couple hundred maybe? Just think about that. That one seed multiply into thousands, and it'll serve mankind for generations in the future. Keep planting that, it'll keep multiplying. So it's really important that we not only go through the denial of that which we do not want, but we plant seeds of what we do want when we're having a conversation with grace. Okay? Because grace will provide for you what you ask, like the genie in the bottle. Okay? So you make sure you give your genie thoughts of celebration, thoughts of joy, thoughts of anticipation of great things happening for you. Now, in addition to, we need to get rid of some of that stuff, right? But here's the difference in why I love the technique, what's called centering prayer. Centering prayer says, when I'm in centering prayer, I'm not dealing with my joys, I'm not dealing with my pains or my gains. What I'm dealing with is being in the presence of Spirit. And then what happens, a couple of things happen when you do this. And I'm now a testament to how it happened for me. Okay, you usually go through a phase, and every time I sit down for meditation, and some of you know what I'm talking when I say this, right? As soon as you sit down, okay, my intention now is only to be in the presence of God, right? My intimate relationship. And what comes up? Did I turn the iron off? Right, all right. That's right. Dang, I forgot to make that phone call yesterday. Right, all right. That's our to-do list. Okay. Now this is normal. This is natural. Allow it to come up. But as soon as you realize you're focusing on the do list and not on your date, what should you do? Get back to your, gently return your attention to grace. Just like you would on a date with an intimate one, right? Things come up in your mind, but you know what happens? You go to that cell phone, right? And how does that feel? All right? We're supposed to have an intimate date, and everything gets your attention but me, right? So we say, you know what, yes, the thought did come up. I acknowledge the thought. I'm not, because we resist not backward thinking, also called evil, okay? We resist not those thoughts. We simply acknowledge it and return our attention to our date called grace. Then what will come up for oftentimes is that then you'll get these, what happens when you're in meditation, you're going through a process, all that stuff that you have stuffed into your consciousness and locked away in that closet, so sometimes with gift wraps on it, okay, and sprayed it, right, okay, and shut that door, then slowly it'll start opening. So stuff will come up. Dang, I shouldn't have blew that spitwatted Sally in third grade. Okay. And I shouldn't have done this. Wow, what an awesome person I am. But then don't fight it. You acknowledge it. And you return your attention to who? To grace. Okay? So you let it come up, but don't give attention to it. I return my attention to grace. Then what will come up? These fantastic ideas. Dang, now I know how to resolve that issue at work. Oh, I got this creative business idea. All right? Matter of fact, Jesus was tempted in the desert in his 40-day fast when the, right, was saying, you can become king of the world. Right? All these fantastic creative ideas will come up. Oh, remember though, you're on a date. Okay? With grace. Even those ideas are distractions. What do? I gently return my attention to grace. Just sitting in the presence of grace. Then what will happen? Now, when we talk about spirituality, time doesn't have a length anymore, right? Remember, we said, I was going to make a 10-minute phone call, and it's been spending 10 hours, okay? So in the midst of grace, as Ernest Holmes says, I'm simply here with an open mind and open heart, experiencing the infinite presence of the Most High God. And then what happens? Grace comes in. It is though, in the Spirit, they talk about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay? It is though this other presence, which is the presence always there, but your awareness of the presence of the Spirit now becomes more aware, more palatable. I've literally experienced this, and I've shared with you last couple Sundays when I'm making a talk, when I was challenged with a great life experience, and I called for prayer, and then I sat down in centering prayer by simply saying, I'm going to sit with grace. And what happens? It now comes and it lifts you. It comforts you. And time does not matter anymore. It is as though this place that I'm in that I've never been before is always a unique experience. I can't always say when it's going to happen, but I know I've been heard and I've been told, and now I have experienced that it happens. Grace slips in like a thief in the night, okay, and embraces you and enfolds you and lifts you. Then when you finish this date, all right, with grace, you can then, you give your thanks for whatever experience you've had, whether it's been a desert experience of nothing happening or a bountiful oasis experience of flowing waters. You simply give thanks for the time you spent with grace and you go about your business. And then what happens? What happens when you practice something? Now I've been to the gym, I worked out, right? Now you see some results. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. Things will begin to change in your life. You'll be more fortified to deal with those living examples. And things will be attracted to you that you never would have guessed. Now, for me, a real life experience. Now, I got married to grace. Now, I didn't use the term grace at that time. Actually, grace came to me about a year ago when we went through the co-creation process. Who were there part of that process? Okay? And some of you remember we're sitting around the table doing our co-creation progress, and grace came up. And I said, grace, right? Right? Because I had a previous experience with the term grace, and it did not work for me. Okay? But then as we went around the table and I began to hear people talk about, because we were going through a consensus process, right? As again, people talk about what grace meant to them, it made an intimate connection to me, right? And then, as you know, like most things you resist, you become your favorite partner, right? Okay, all right. So what happened to me that since that time period, I have gone back and applied this to a spiritual experience I had several years ago. When I was sitting in prayer, and I felt so intimate, so at oneness with Spirit, I said, and that was in February of 2009, that I am now married to Spirit. So I actually consciously made a recommitment to my spiritual growth and development. And I made it, and it's sort of also part of my Islamic experience in Islam is that, you know, you can have more than one wife. Okay. But there's a cultural history behind that, of course. But symbolism for me was when you have that one wife, you can't make any other commitments now unless if your first wife agrees. okay? And so my commitment to myself was that from this point forward, I would never make any major decisions in my life without first conferring what I now call grace. Okay? Living spiritually and not circumstantially. Okay? And then lo and behold, then what happened within a month later, remember, I wasn't necessarily dating outwardly. I had a lot of coffees in the last several years, right? Someone that I work with at work, all of a sudden we had a person that we both were supervising, co-supervisors, and we had to go on to do an evaluation of this person, right? And so we're so busy we couldn't match up our schedules. Then finally we said, well, let's have coffee, let's have lunch, so we can finish the evaluation of this person. As we were doing this evaluation of this person, we're having our little casual warm-up conversation. And remember, now I had just 30 days before had this experience, and I called it contemplative or contemplation, right? This person says, oh, I'm reading this book called Contemplation, Contemplative Prayer. And my soul, I literally did that. I went, and then she said, I thought I had lettuce in my teeth or something. Okay. And of course, what was that, right? And so, of course, I paid attention. Now she got my attention. Okay. And we became acquainted. And then to level, went from coffee to lunch to dinner. To what do you want, right? Right? And it's blossomed to a beautiful, most awesome relationship that we've been experiencing over the last several years. Okay. So grace is not simply an inner experience, right? The fruits of the Spirit multiplies in outwardly experiences, this thing called grace. Now, I want to invite you because, and I want you to remember these words, 10-2-4. Can you see that? 10-2-4. Okay, Saturday, October the 24th, we're going to have a gentleman here who I met during that same miraculous process. I won't tell the whole story today because I think my time is up, okay? But how I miraculously came in contact with an individual who had been teaching centering prayer for several years here in Anchorage. And on Saturday the 24th, we're going to have an introduction to centering prayer. Okay? All right, so just remember, 10-2-4, Saturday the 24th, okay? And we'll have some sign-ups in the back and the whole thing, and you'll have an opportunity to be introduced to this thing that I call my grace practice, okay? That's brought me to where that really has served me so well. Now, what I mean by this served me so well, what's the outwardly? Meaning this. When you finally begin to live gracefully or begin spiritually, you know what? Your life gets into a flow, you know? And you begin to walk and you feel good and you feel confident. Because why? I got this experience. I spent this time and I'm acquainted with and I'm confident that God's got my back, okay? And of course, what will happen? How does life happen? Life happens, you know, where you're walking gracefully. And little things that happen in your life, and you kind of stumble a little bit. Hey, I got this. God's got my back, right? And then, of course, as your confidence builds up and builds up, you become so confident, something else happens in life, and you kind of stumble to the side. And you say, hey, it's all right, because God got my back, right? And then, as it happened to me a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, something really happens, that phone call, right? And you go, oh! And I begin to see myself falling, right? But because of grace, as I was falling, I called for prayer and I fell on my knees. And I opened my heart and I said, all that phone call, all those thoughts, I'm setting aside. I'm going to spend time with grace. And then what happened? It lifted me, okay? It comforted me. It healed me. So in the middle of my own life-shattering experience, I could get up, get dressed, and come to this center to meet someone else for their prayerful needs. I'm talking about grace, and it's good. What is grace? It's peace. Grace is light. Grace is that something that once you have that experience, I cannot explain it, but once you experience it, you'll know what I'm talking about, okay? Oh, and it's a feeling. It's a feeling. It's that when you're with that intimate friend, you can't explain to your girlfriends or your boyfriends or your mother or your father, okay? God bless the child has got his own relationship with grace. So I would invite you now to open your heart, open your mind. Let us prepare for prayer.